The scripture reading is Psalm 127. Psalm 127. We will read the whole psalm. It's a short psalm. And the text is verses 3 through 5. Entitled The Song of Degrees for Solomon. Song of Degrees indicates this is a psalm that they would sing as they ascended up to the temple for worship in the Old Testament. Degrees means ascent. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And so far do we read God's word this morning. The text is verses 3 through 5, and I'll read them again. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Psalm 127 teaches that God is the giver of all that we have. This is a psalm written by King Solomon, and especially addressing the people of Israel in the Old Testament. Now that applies to today too, but that's the context here. He's writing to God's people, Israel. And in verses 1 and 2, Solomon writes what he had come to realize as king and as the builder of the temple. He had come to realize that God was the giver of the temple, and God is the one who ultimately watches over the city. Verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So the building of God's house, the temple, would never have succeeded without God. The men could have been working and working for years and years, but never would have completed it without God. God's the one who gives the strength to work. He's the one who gave those men the ability to work and complete the task. And the same thing is true in regard to the watch or the keeping of the city. Without God's protection, that city could be taken by enemies. It would be. God ultimately protected the city. In verse 2, Solomon teaches that since God is the giver of everything, the people ought to depend upon him. It says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. And the idea is, don't worry about all the projects that you have. Don't lose sleep over them. No, Jehovah will provide what his people need. In verses 3 through 5, Solomon adds that God is also the giver of all the children that we have. We do not give ourselves children. God says, lo, and that means, that's verse 3, lo, that means take note, listen, I'm the giver of children. These are my gifts. And Psalm 127 makes plain that these children that he gives to us believers are wonderful gifts. Verse 3 God says, behold, your children are a heritage, and your children are a reward. Now, some men in the world, they would hear that, and maybe they would scoff at that idea or laugh a little bit. Your children are a heritage of the Lord. They're a reward. And our sinful nature can sometimes lose sight of that too, that they're really a heritage of God and a reward of God. But God says, see that then this morning to us. He says, see this, take note of it. They are. They're a heritage from me. They're a reward from me. Let's be reminded of that truth this morning. We know it deep down. We know it's true that our children are God's precious gifts. May we be reminded of that this morning and give praise to our God who causes these children to serve to our good and to the good of the church for Jesus' sake. Let's praise Him as we hear this word brought. Let's consider the text under the theme, Children of the Youth. Children of the Youth. First, a heritage of the Lord. Second, as arrows in His hand. And third, the happiness of a quiverful. So, children of the youth, first, a heritage of Jehovah. Second, as arrows in our hands. And third, the happiness of a quiverful. We begin with a heritage of Jehovah. That's what the text teaches. The children of believers are a heritage of the Lord. What does heritage mean? Well, that word heritage in the text means inheritance. That word in other passages in Scripture is often translated inheritance. That's the way it is, for instance, in Exodus 15, verse 17. There Moses is speaking to God, and he's speaking to God about how the land of Canaan is a heritage or inheritance. That's the word Moses uses, inheritance given to Israel. So Exodus 15 verse 17 says, thou shalt bring them, that's Israel, thou shalt bring Israel in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in. And that word inheritance in that verse comes from the same Hebrew word that is translated heritage in our text this morning. Now, there are three truths about a heritage or inheritance that must be understood. First, a heritage or inheritance is usually a possession passed down from a father to his son, or from parents to their children. For instance, in Exodus 15, verse 17, the land of Canaan is spoken of as an inheritance. It's given from God to His children, the Israelites. Inheritance, that word is used the same way today. Parents pass on possessions to their children, and they call that an inheritance. Second, an inheritance or heritage is a precious possession. The land of Canaan, for instance, that God gave to His children Israel was a rich land, a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a precious gift and possession. Well, today, parents, they pass down to their children for inheritance their precious possessions. They don't save trash to pass down to their children. Third, an inheritance is something that is not earned but is freely given. God, as the father of the Israelites, He freely gave them the land of Canaan. The Israelites didn't earn that land in any way. God freely gave it to them, and that's what happens today too with inheritance. Parents freely pass down possessions to their children. Their children do not do nothing to earn it. They just get those possessions. Now apply that to what the text says about children. The text teaches, verse 3 teaches, that our children are a heritage or inheritance of Jehovah. Jehovah is the giver of this inheritance. Verse 3 reads, children are a heritage of Jehovah. That preposition of there could be translated from. That's the idea of the word of in this text. The text could read, children are a heritage from Jehovah. The children that he gives for a heritage are his special elect children. When this text speaks of children being a heritage of Jehovah, it's speaking of God's precious little elect children. The proof for that is found in the word heritage or inheritance in the text. Remember that a heritage or inheritance is a special possession. Thus, the children that are being spoken of in the text are not just any children. They're God's special little elect children. And Jehovah gives these little precious elect children to us, his children. The proof for that is found in the word inheritance again. An inheritance is something given to family members. And we, believers, are God's family members through the blood of Jesus Christ. The parents who brought their children for baptism this morning are God's family members. They're his children based on the blood of the wonderful Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Jehovah normally gives his precious possessions, his little elect children, to believers, to us, his children. It's unusual that he gives his precious little elect children to unbelieving parents who are not his adopted children. He normally gives his little elect children to us, his children, believers. That's the wonderful truth of the covenant this morning. It is a wonderful truth. The covenant is the relationship of friendship that God establishes with believers and their children. He's pleased to give his special little children to us, establishing his covenant in the line of continued generations. He's pleased to do that. Now, we know that not every little child of every believer is an elect child of God. But we do know that it's often the case that God gives his precious little elect children to believers. That's how God is pleased to work. That's really how he's promised to work. And that's why we baptized Noah this morning. God has promised to work salvation, to work cleansing in the line of continued generations. So we baptize that child because of that promise. Now Jehovah, understand, gives all the members of the church, even, and that includes the single members and parents who are or couples who are childless, he gives to them the inheritance of elect children too. The actual parents are on the forefront in this text. Verse 5 says, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. But the children that are born here, they in a real sense belong to all of us. We are one body united in Jesus Christ. So those children that are given to these parents here this morning, really given to all of us as a heritage. Those precious little elect children are given to us, and praise God for that. What a wonderful thing that is. Now these children, which are God's heritage, they're also a gracious reward according to the text. They're a gracious reward of God. Let's understand that now. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. A reward is a gracious gift. When we think of a reward, we often think of something that we earn by hard work. So we work hard, then we get something. Well, when we speak of a reward that God gives us, it's not a gift that we earned, but it's a gift that He freely gives to us in His grace. When God gives us a reward, we have not done anything to earn it. Remember that God is the owner of everything. He does not have to give us anything. And even if we would perfectly obey Him, which we cannot do as those who each have a sinful nature, even if we would perfectly obey Him, we would only be doing what we are supposed to do. So we wouldn't be earning anything. God gives us, His people, rewards of grace. God's grace is His undeserved favor. And in His undeserved favor, God gives us rewards, that is, these gifts that serve to our good. These gifts are a blessing to us. They're called the reward from God, so they're certainly a blessing to us. And now apply that to children. That's what the text says about children. Children, the heritage of Jehovah, are a reward of grace to us. Verse 3, the fruit of the womb is His reward. The fruit of a tree is something that comes forth from a tree. The fruit of the womb is what comes forth from a womb, and that's a child. Now, we did nothing to earn these covenant children. They are rewards of grace. First, they are a reward of grace because only God can cause a woman to become pregnant. Couples who have struggled to have children know that. They especially know that. God is the giver of children. Second, these covenant children must be a reward of grace because they are called in the text an inheritance. An inheritance is something that's freely passed down from parent to child. The son or daughter does nothing to earn it. And third, these covenant children are a reward of grace because they truly are blessings. They truly serve to our good. We know that. These elect children serve to our salvation in so many ways. As they grow up, we teach them. They ask us questions. We must search the Scriptures to answer them. As we read to them the Bible stories, we ourselves are built up in faith and a desire to serve our God in thankfulness as we see Christ in those Bible stories. These children also teach us. They bring us home things from school and explain things to us during family devotions that we learn from. Also, verse 4 speaks of these children as arrows in our hands. And we'll see more in a little while how that also shows these children are wonderful gifts to us, rewards of grace. Now, it must be noted again, or also, that godly couples and single members who never are able to have children of their own, they are still blessed by God. Marriage is a picture of the relationship between Christ and His church. So those couples that are married and do not have any children, apart even from children, they're blessed by God. They enjoy a wonderful relationship with their spouse that points them to the relationship between Christ and His church. And even if there are difficulties in the marriage, those difficulties too, they point the husband and the wife to that marriage, a higher marriage with Christ that they have. So they too are blessed. And single members, they're blessed greatly too as those who have opportunity, especially to serve in the church as Apostle Paul did. They experience great blessing in that way. And they're godly couples without children and single members are blessed too in the sense that these covenant children belong to all of us here in the church as a body united in Christ. this truth that children are a heritage of Jehovah. And these children are a reward from God. Those truths teach us how we are to view our children. They determine. The truth of verse 3 determines how we are to view our children. That's first this way. Children are something to be desired. They're not to be viewed as a nuisance. And we bring that up today because that is how children are often viewed in the world today. And that's why the number of children per family in America has greatly declined. Children are viewed as a nuisance. They cost money. They keep parents from maybe having as nice a vacation as they otherwise could have, from getting as big a house as they otherwise could have, from getting this or that car or this or that other thing. Children are hard work. When you have to wake up with them 5 times during the night and you have to get up for work too the next morning, you have to take care of kids all day the next day, that's hard. Children tie a mother down too. It may interfere with the career that maybe she once had. Others say children are a nuisance also to the environment, and that's true even in some in the Reformed church world today. They will say, for instance, that it's actually wrong to have more than 2 children because of what that does to the environment. You're not being a good steward of the resources of the earth if you have so many children, taking them away from others, taking those resources from others who need them somewhere else. Do we ever view children as a nuisance? We know that they are good gifts from God. We know that. But there are times where in weakness we do view them in a wrong way. So this word comes to us then this morning to remind us, children are something to be desired. They're a heritage. They're an inheritance of Jehovah. Normally, the children that God gives to us are His precious covenant children. And we get to have them in our homes for a time. We get to teach them Jehovah's fear. We get to have these children that belong to Christ right in our home, that are washed in His precious blood. What a privilege that is. See that this morning. See these children truly as the blessing that they are. Children are also a reward from God, according to the text. What a privilege it is to receive these gracious gifts that serve our good and serve the good of the church right in our home. So the Word of God is decisive, really, on the issue. Children are something to be desired. Also, that children are a heritage of Jehovah and a great reward makes it plain that children are to be raised as God calls us to raise them. These children are God's heritage. They're His special possessions that He gives to us for a time to take care of. They ultimately belong to Him. Therefore, we are to raise them as God calls us to raise them. We don't just do with them as we please. We don't just stash them off somewhere and do nothing with them and not live with them and truly teach them and instruct them. Stop and remember that these children were given to us by God for an inheritance. Stop and remember that this week. And thank God for that. Live with those children then too and teach them in His fear. Verse 4 then says this about these children of believers. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. They are a great reward. The idea of verse 4 is that children are used to protect God's church against enemies. They're like arrows. They're used to protect the church against enemies. We need to understand the figure that's given there in verse 4. Arrows in the hands of a mighty man are weapons used to protect the city. They're used to protect the people in the city against an enemy. Think of a mighty man. He's fighting against the enemies of the city, and he has arrows in his hand. And he uses those arrows to defend the city. He uses those arrows for the overall good of the city. For when the city doesn't have these enemies getting in and hurting them, that city's able to be built up. That city's able to go forth and advance and conquer. So the arrows serve to protect the city. The arrows serve to the overall good of the city. And now the text uses that picture to describe our children. Children are like arrows. They serve in the protection of the church against enemies. God ultimately protects the church. Jesus Christ is the one who defeated all of the enemies of the church at the cross by paying for the sins of his people. But we understand those enemies still fight. God uses means to protect his church. He gives arrows. He gives children to believing parents. And those children are used in the protection of the church against enemies and for the overall good of the church. Verse 5 shows how that is. Verse 5 shows how the children of believers in Israel were like arrows. We read there, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." The gate of the city was the place where judgment was made and counsel was given. The gate of the city that's being talked about here is Jerusalem. It's where Solomon lived. And the people that would be at the gate were usually the older men, the elders. There were others that came there too, but the elders would especially speak there at the gate, and they would speak against the false teachings of the day and show forth what was the truth. Now, the children of Israel in the Old Testament, God's people, they had enemies that would come to those gates. And God's people had enemies that hated them, since the lives of the people in Jerusalem were a witness against their lives, were a witness against their idolatry. The lives of the people of Israel showed forth that the people in these other places, in these other cities, were doing the wrong thing. And they would face the judgment of God. So these enemies would speak to the men at the gates, trying to take them away from the truth and from following God's way. Their desire was that they would make the elders at the gates look foolish. And the rest of the people would hear about that or see that happen, and then they would have second thoughts about the way which they were going and think, well, maybe none of these things I thought were true, maybe none of that is true. And the hope of the enemy was then they could destroy God's church in Jerusalem. Well, the psalmist said that the children, given for a heritage, they would speak to the enemies at the gates, and they would not be ashamed. That's the word, they would not be ashamed. Shame is embarrassment that comes with defeat. It comes because of defeat. You're made to look foolish by an enemy, so you're humiliated. And maybe you're so humiliated that you back up now on your own views and you throw out your own views because you've been humiliated by trying to hold to them. Well, the psalmist said that the children of believers, as they got older, as those children of believers grew up and they spoke at those gates, they would not be ashamed. By God's grace, they would confidently speak the truth over against the lie. They would show forth that God's way is the right way. God's word is the truth. Now that activity would serve in the protecting of God's people and to the overall good of Israel. The people of God would see the lies defeated at the gates. They would see the truth promoted and hear that truth promoted. So that lie then wouldn't spread into the city and affect the people negatively, but instead the truth would be spread in the city and continue to be spread. And the older people in that city, they would continue to hear the truth in their old age, the truth of God's word. And that would serve to their comfort. That truth would serve to their comfort in the building up of their faith. And the young children in Israel, they'd continue to hear the truth, and they'd be built up in knowledge of God and of the coming Savior, the Christ. So God protected Israel through instruments, and those instruments were the children, the inheritance that God gave to the people. Now that's exactly what God does today too. The children of believers today also serve in the protection of the church. We have enemies that come to the gates today too. The world is right at the door. And the wicked in the world, they do not like it when the church is walking in God's ways. As we heard last week, they hate to see the members living in a godly way, for that shows them they're doing the wrong thing. And it reminds them they'll face judgment for it. They don't like it. So they want to make us stop living as we are in the Christian way. They want to bring us instead to walk in their ways. And so they try to influence us at work or at college or through the television or through the internet. They want us to think of, they want to form our views about God. They want to form our views about how this life ought to be lived and what we should care about and what entertainments we should seek. And the false church, too, is right at the door. The world's at the door, but so is the false church. The false church is always seeking to bring us into false doctrine. They want us to say that man contributes somehow to his salvation. They want us to have a man-centered worship where there's just entertainment and to let go of that Christ-centered preaching that they would say lasts far too long and goes on and on. Now the children that God gives to us, they will speak to those enemies and they'll speak about their false teachings and not be ashamed. They do this when they're young. Our children do this already in a certain way. But they will continue to defend the truth as they grow older. When they grow older and take up positions in their homes and take up positions in the church, they will speak and not be ashamed. They will not be embarrassed. They will not be defeated and turned away from the truth. No, in a humble yet bold manner, they will say to those false teachers and about those false teachers, no, we're going to follow God's way. They'll say to their children, we are going to follow God's word. That's what the worldview you see in the television. We're not following that way. We're going in God's way. And when they hear about false teachings or even have those false teachings before them, they humbly say, we have to follow God's word. As arrows, these children that we are given will serve in the protection of the church and the overall good of the church. The whole church is protected from the lie in this way. With the lie turned back, the church will have the truth promoted in it. And that will serve to the good of the older members in the church. The old parents, they will continue to hear the truth in their old age and be comforted as they hear that truth of Jesus Christ. The younger members in the church, they will continue to hear that truth and be brought up in the knowledge of Jesus Christ as well. So our children are like arrows. They serve to the glory of God and the good of His church. What precious gifts God gives to us. What a gracious God He is when you think of how these children He gives us are used for our good. Now, to protect the church against enemies, these children are shaped, aimed, and released like an arrow. To protect the church, these children are shaped, aimed, and released like an arrow. That's the comparison in the text. Verse 4 says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. With the goal of protecting his people, a mighty man shapes, aims, and releases his arrow. He shapes them. He doesn't want to have a crooked arrow. If it's crooked, that arrow will not fly straight. That arrow will not serve then to the protection of the people. It won't be able to hit the target. An arrow must be shaped and made straight. The mighty man then aims the arrow. A mighty man doesn't randomly fire that arrow into the air. No, then he won't hit the enemy. He aims his arrow at the intended target to protect the city. And then he releases that arrow. He releases it with the hope that it hits the target. He releases it with the hope that that arrow will serve to defeat the enemy, protect the people. Now apply that to what we do with our children, with the goal that our children serve in the protection of the church. Believing covenant parents shape, aim, and release their children. The mighty man with arrows shaped the arrow so that he could accurately hit the target, hit the enemy. Well, covenant parents, believing parents, shape their children so that they're used in the protection of the church and for the good of the church. Covenant believing parents, we right here, we shape our children to do many things. We shape them, for instance, to learn their math, maybe. We shape them to take up certain jobs in the home and maybe even to be the one who takes over the farm one day. We shape them for things. We shape them maybe to in certain sports even, but remember, covenant parents, remember that these are God's children and that they are first and foremost then to be shaped to serve God and his people in this spiritual battle in which we are. We prepare them for the battle by reading them Bible stories from the time they're very young and pointing them to Christ in those stories and having family devotions with them. We're shaping them for the battle. We seek to prepare them for battle all while depending on God. So we as parents, as we seek to shape them in the right way, we're leaning on God the whole time to give us strength to do that. We'll never do it on our own. Verse 1, accept the Lord, build the house, the weary builders toil in vain. We cannot build the house. We cannot even have a child without God. And thus we certainly need him for strength to shape these children the right way. So lean upon him for that strength daily and ask that he would bless that instruction. That it may serve to the good of those children and the good of the church. Covenant parents shape their children, but then also aim their children at the defeat of the enemies and the service of God's church. They aim them. We don't aim them ultimately at becoming wealthy. We don't aim them ultimately at becoming famous or well-known in the world. That's not our goal. We aim them at the protection of God's people and the service of the church. That's what we aim them at. We teach them, seeking that they would go out even into the world, at college or in the workplace, and speak of Christ there. Truth of Christ. We teach them, aiming that they be leaders in their homes one day who truly instruct their children in the Word of God. We teach them, aiming that the men defend the truth as office bearers one day or as a minister of the gospel. We aim them. And we aim them in dependence upon God, recognizing our need to bless all of that instruction. Covenant parents shape, aim, and then release their children, also in dependence upon God. The arrow must be released. Children must be released into the workplace or into college or into marriage. They must be released. And we lean on God then to use them for their good, to use them for the church's good as we release them. And as we release them, some of you parents who have released these children, you, as you release them, you probably thought about your weaknesses as a parent. Thought about your failures as a parent to shape them always as you should have or to aim them always in the right direction. recognize our failures and pray for forgiveness, then all of us pray for forgiveness in the blood of Jesus today. God sent Christ the Savior. Lean upon Him. And lean upon Him that He would still bless the work that you have done, although done in weakness. Bless that work for the good of His church, the protection of it. Only the one who made the arrow can make it fly true. Trust Him. And by God's grace, God does use that instruction for good, for the protection of the church. He does. He's pleased to work in that way. These children go out after having been shaped, aimed, and released, and they do go forward and promote the truth. We've seen that here in this congregation. Praise God. They do promote the truth so that even in our old age, some of you older members, you continue to hear the truth brought on this pulpit, and you're comforted by it and built up by it. Praise God for that, that you see that now even happening. And the truth is even advanced now beyond our walls so that members from even outside the church, they're gathered among us and praise God along with us. We have a great responsibility then. The defeat of our enemies and the building up of the church, we recognize that all depends on God. And God will use His covenant children in this defense and for the good of the church. Yet that doesn't mean that we sit around and do nothing as parents. See your responsibility this morning to shape them and go forward and do it today and every day this week and every day that those children are in your home. See your responsibility to aim them in the right way and do so. And release the child when the time comes. Do that all in dependence upon the Lord. You know your weaknesses. So do what parents, godly parents, have been doing for 6,000 years. All the while you teach them, do it in dependence on God. Leaning on Him for strength. Even recognizing that Christ is a sympathetic Savior. He has a large family. He's with us. Strength. Look to Him for strength each day to do the shaping, aiming, and releasing. And in that way, God's church will be defended. God's church will be blessed through that instruction. In the last place this morning, the man who has many children is happy. He is happy with his quiver full. Verse 5 says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. You understand how that mighty man who's defending the city would be happy if he had a quiver full of arrows. A quiver is a tool that's used to hold arrows, and a quiver full means that quiver, that tool, has many arrows in it. And that mighty man would be happy in that situation because he'd have many weapons to use in defense of the city against the enemies. He'd be happy. Well, the father who has a quiver full or a house full of children is even more happy. Children are blessings to him and to his wife that give them great joy. As these parents see their children going out and speaking of Jesus Christ, even at a young age, and as they see their children making confession of faith and growing up to be godly parents in their home instructing their children, and as they see those children grow up to be office bearers even in the church defending the truth, those parents have great joy. They see God working in their children, and they rejoice in God. They're very thankful. And the more covenant children that they have, the better. The more arrows that defend God's church and serve the protection of that church, the better. And really, the whole church is happy when there are covenant children born and there are covenant children baptized as we had this morning. The whole church is happy. We rejoice as we see children born, as we see those children grow up and serve in the church. We rejoice. So rejoice today. Rejoice today and give thanks to God for His covenant gifts. His covenant are these defenders of the faith. He does all that for us for Jesus' sake. pray for more. Pray that God would continue to give us these children. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we're thankful for the word. We pray that thou wilt bless us by this word, strengthen the parents here and really all the church to shape, aim, and release these children. And may they truly serve in the protection and for the good of this congregation. We've seen that in the past. We've seen thy blessing. We rejoice as we see it this morning. We give thee thanks, for thou dost provide all these things for us for Jesus' sake. And it is in his name alone we pray. Amen.